Okay, that's enough for that. Now, he wanted me to come kick off this revival. Was that what you said, Brady?
Yeah.
I believe the choir's already done that. I'll just preach tonight. Amen. But what good singing. I appreciate that so much. Every song, that song, it is well with my soul. That's one of my wife's favorite songs and one of my favorites. And I'm glad I can say it is well with my soul. Amen. 1956, February 13th, 1956. The Lord has saved this old country boy, and I thank him for that every day. In your Bibles, now in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We want to read a few verses now, and you hear it, and I pray that God will help us as we stand before you now tonight, that we'll preach the things that God has laid on our heart, and as God lays them on our heart now tonight. It's a joy to come here to Pleasant Grove. This is one of our favorite churches. Me and my wife, we talk about that. One of our favorite churches go to, and I'm not just saying that now to build up some brownie points. I mean that. And we appreciate you so much. If you found your place, now let us stand for the reading of the Word of God now tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of this chapter now tonight. The Bible said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to you now tonight. We thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to stand in this pulpit again now tonight. And I pray, Lord, as we've read this scripture now and the hearing of this people, that you open our hearts and our ears to the hearing of the Word of God now tonight. And oh, God, I pray that you'll move on each heart. We've already felt thy reviving spirit now tonight through the good choir singing. And Lord, I pray for the man that's coming in this revival. Bless him, Brother Ponder. Oh, God, bless this pastor, this church. And God, may souls be saved. And may we come, our Father, as you revive our hearts time and time again. Lead us now, Lord. Help us, our Father. Bless all that's here now tonight. Touch some sick person. Our Father, save some lost soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated now tonight. I want to talk to us now just a little while. I don't know how long. I know sometimes we put the time limits on the preaching of the Word of God. I never have done that, but I never have preached very long at one time. Because when you get as old as I am, I remember what I told them at Flat Hill when I first went there. I was 71 years old at that time, and I told them, I said, now, folks, I'm going to come here and preach to you, but when you get where you're not listening, we'll go to the house.
Yeah.
I don't have any wind to waste. But I appreciate all the Word of God and all of God's children. And I always just preached till the Lord gets through or till you quit listening, and we'll go to the house then. But I want to talk to us about having courage and what that means. Now, you notice three times in this scripture, in the first chapter, in fact, four times, it talks about courage. Now, I thank the Lord for that, and I believe that when we look at the Word of God, we can find some things now that Joshua had that could give us a great courage and make us very courageous, he said one time in these verses. So tonight we're going to talk to you now just a little while about that. And you think about the circumstances now that surrounded this great man of God, Joshua and Caleb. You know how that God had blessed them among the 12 spies that God, Moses sent across the river to spy out the land. And the Word of God tells us that 11 or 10 of those men came back. You know, they had their eyes on the giants, and they was just all dismayed and all down and out. And I tell you, there's two that carried that big cluster of grapes on a staff and them big pomegranates in their pockets. And they came back across the river and they said, boy, we can take the land right now. We can possess this land. But I believe Joshua and Caleb, that was the two that was carrying that big cluster of grapes and carrying the fruit of the land. And they had the evidence now of the land of Canaan. And so God blessed them and all those others that doubted God when they came to Kadesh Barnea there. And they doubted God. They said, we can't take this land. We're like grasshoppers. There's giants over there, sons of Anak, there. And they had all their eyes on their enemies and looked at all those things. And they said, we can't. And, you know, I believe when we think about what God can do, I believe we ought to say God can always. He can do all things. He's a great God. He's never lost any of his power and his might. He's just the God of all the Bible, and I thank him for that now tonight. But when I look here in the Word of God now, and I see the circumstances, we notice that God had called Moses, and you know the story about Moses as he's grown out of the Nile River, and how that God let him grow up in Egypt in the king's house, the king's palace, and was nursed by his own mother, and she got paid for it. I tell you, that's a miracle, wasn't it? I mean, so you think about all the things that God had done for Moses, and because he's a proper child, and God let him come along, and I tell you, after he fled, and his life was divided into three terms of 40 years each. 40 years there in Egypt, and 40 years back there in the desert, and 40 years leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and he lived to be 120 years old, and his eyesight hadn't grown dim, or his natural forces been abated. I say now, we had this man at Bethel Church today saying, you know, some people die, there's not a thing wrong with them, but I thought on that. Now, most of the time when somebody dies, there's something wrong with them. I mean, doctor, now the only one I could think about in all the Word of God now that died with everything all right, and that was Moses. Now, you study the Bible, you see that. But I see how that God blessed him now, and God led him back in Egypt. God appeared to him in that burning bush, and how the Lord said, I am, you know, and he is the I am of all the Bible, the great I am. I am the Lord of life. I am all these things. I'm glad Jesus is that now tonight. But when I look at when God called him and God sent him back into Egypt now to tell Pharaoh to let my children go. And finally he went back and did what God told him to do. And God used him mightily. Now, I want us to think of this one thing now tonight. It was not the great things Moses did, but it was the great things God did through Moses. I believe we ought to recognize that now tonight. I thank God for God using the servant Moses now. He tells us right here now that it comes down to the book of Joshua. And we notice the story about Moses down. He didn't obey the voice of God at the rock the second time. And God said, speak to that rock. And he smote the rock. And you see, the storm was not to be smitten but one time. Jesus died one time for our sins. And so God said, now, Moses, because you've disobeyed my voice, you're not going to go into the land of Canaan. And so he took up on Mount Nebo. And I remember in 1995 or 96, I was there in Israel. And there at Mount Carmel, we looked up through the valley of Jezreel, Brother Brady, and I could see Mount Nebo way there in our sight. We could see Mount Nebo, our God. I didn't know what Mount, but our God said, that's Mount Nebo now, where God took Moses upon that mount and showed him all of the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And said, now you're not going to be able to go into that land But I'm going to let you see it. Now, you think about that. Now, here, the great man of God, Nahum. God, the Bible tells us he died, and God buried him in the valley of Moab. So now you see this man, Moses, died, and as far as the Bible tells us now that everything was all right, I believe his blood pressure is all right, his cholesterol is all right. Everything about him, his eyesight hadn't got dim, and I can't say that. Boy, if I get 120, I guess somebody got to lead me around, you know. And I'm kind of like my brother was. He came to Flint Hill Church one night, and I said, "Danny, how in the world are you doing?" He said, "Marv, I'm not doing so good." So I got a Cadillac on both eyes. I said, "Danny, I thought you was a Chevrolet man." But anyhow, but God had blessed this his great servant now, Moses. God had led him, and God, through his servant Moses now, had led that great band of people now, the children of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage. Now, just 69 souls went there, plus Joseph down there, and one place said 75, counting Joseph's children. And so when you look at all the story, you see now this man, we have to say now that what God told Joshua here, he said, "My servant Moses has died." But he said, now, this is not the end of this story. And you've got to have some courage. You've got to have some power to stand in, to persevere, to keep on going for the glory of God. And so he said, now, I want you to know now, Joshua, and there are some things that I think we ought to look at now tonight to make us, I tell you, keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Now, there's no time to stop. Did you know that? There's no time to stop. I think we need to just keep on keeping on for the glory of God and have courage. And that courage, I tell you, God gives us some things here in this chapter now that ought to encourage us, because God gives us courage. Now, when I look at this and I think about it now, the first thing we should look at now, God said, now, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with thee. Now, when I look back over my life and I think about the men of God that lived before me when I was just a little lad of a boy going to Flint Hill Baptist Church, and I remember my old preachers, I'll tell you, back in those days, all the men that said they were preachers, they preached. Amen. Amen. Now, you think on that, but I can't get used to this nowadays stuff when they say God's called me to preach, they never do preach. Yeah. somehow or another, there's the old car's running on three wheels or something. I don't know. I don't understand all about that. But one thing I do know, God was with them forefathers. God was with them men of God back in those days. And I'll tell you, I'm glad the same God that was with them is with us tonight. I can feel the same spirit that I felt, thank God, the very night I got saved by God's grace. And I'm glad, thank God, he took me in his arms of love and embraced me and made me a child of King. And not only that, but came in on the inside in the power of the Holy Spirit and made me know who he was. And I thank God, tonight I can stand here before you and say I have courage tonight because I know him that my forefathers knew. I know him that Moses knew. I know him that Joshua knew. And I feel like, amen, I got courage tonight. Amen. Well, glory to his name. I've got courage. So now God said, now, Joshua, just like I've been with Moses, my servant, I'm going to be with thee. So have courage and have great courage. And I'll tell you, that helps me when I think about that, because I'll tell you, folks, we're living in the Saturday evening time right now. We're living in the Laodicean church age. We're living now at the end of the church age, I feel like. And I'll tell you, it ain't going to be long till the shout's going to come and we're going to leave this old world. And I'll tell you, I have courage because of the promise of God. And God said, Joshua, just like I've been with Moses, my servant, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake thee. I'm not going to leave thee. I'm just going to hang around with you. So be strong and of a good courage. Now, you see, when I think about that now, if I know he's with me, that's all that matters. If he be for us, who can be against us? I tell you, all down through the church age, the devil has never liked the church. I tell you, in the world, they don't care much for the church. And the communists don't care much for the church. The atheists don't care much for the church. But I'm glad that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church and promised us, I tell you, when he came in their heart that night or that day, he said, I'll never leave thee. I'm glad, thank God, he came in to stay. And I know he did, because for 61 years, he's been there, and I can feel him again tonight in the house of God. Well, that's not to make a dried up Presbyterian shout, ain't it? I remember years ago, Brother Chucky back there, the New Light Baptist Church, and I was pastor up there, and I believe it was before I went to be pastor. We used to go preach way back up that road somewhere, Chuck, at a Presbyterian church. Way back on up on the hill somewhere up there. Now, going up that mountain, my wife said, now, Marvin, you got to remember, you're going to be in a Presbyterian church tonight. I had a habit saying that. That's nothing like a dried up Presbyterian shout. Now, that was probably somewhere close to 50 years ago. And I got in the big way of preaching that night, and I said, that's nothing like a right-up Baptist shout. My wife looked like she was scared to death. I was a right-up Baptist shout. You know where you can say things, don't you, where you can't. But I'm glad that the Lord has promised now. And when I look at this, now look at the circumstances. Now here's a man, Joshua, that's going to take upon himself a big task. Somewhere probably 1.5 million people that he's got to lead across this Jordan into the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey. And they done mumbled for 40 years. I mean, they believed God, and God let them wander in the wilderness until all of them died that didn't believe him there at Kadesh Barnea. I mean, from 20 years and upward, they died. They passed away because they said, we can't take this land. God said, because of that, you're going to lose your carcasses right here in the wilderness. I used to preach that down at Liberty Church talking about the carcass, and my daughter-in-law was a school teacher, and boy, she had all the grammar just right. She come to me one Sunday and said, Marvin, it don't sound good if you say a carcass. I said, well, let's talk to God about that. It's in the Bible. Don't bother me with that. But when I look at this now, look at the picture. Now, across that river Jordan was going to be some battles to be won. And I'll tell you now, down in the future, we've got some battles ahead of us. In fact, the church is facing things I think we never would have thought the church had ever faced. We're facing this thing of homosexuality when they think now if you don't ordain one of them in your churches or on the deacon board or something, then they can bring you before the courts. Now, that's sad, isn't it? Amen. And so we've got some battles that we're facing. Now, just across that river, the first enemy they used to face was Jericho. And you're reading the next chapter here in Joshua how that God said, now I'm going to give you Jericho. Now, Joshua, be of good courage, Joshua. I'm the one that's doing the fight, and you just go out there. And now, you think about this. I mean, it looked kind of stupid to the world and to the folks who didn't believe how that God gave them the victory over Jericho. Right. And in fact, there was a walled city. And I've been there, the ruins of Jericho, and saw where the walls had fallen down. And all these things, I mean, and to think about what he's facing. But I tell you, Joshua still, I think, had one thing in mind. God, you said you'd be with me, you'd never leave me, never forsake me, and I'll tell you, the walls of Jericho don't look like nothing when my big God's walking beside of me. And when he's leading me, I'm glad, thank God, there's no battle ahead of us that's too big for our God to handle. I'm glad he's big enough to take care of every situation. He's God. He'll never cease being God. And he said, I'll be with you all the way. Well, I'll tell you, I feel like preaching about another hour. How about that? And I feel like it, but I probably won't. Amen. So now then, God speaks to Joshua and said, now I've given this city in your hands. Tell you what I want you to do. 6 days, I want you to march around that city. Just come out of your tents and march around that city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around that city 7 times. And then he said, shout. Now, some folks said, don't believe that you ought to shout till you feel. Well, if God says shout, just shout, because it'll be all right. We've done wrong with that.
Right.
So they sounded them horns. They began to shout. And the seventh time, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down.
Amen.
You see, God said, I'll be with you. Just like I was with Moses, my servant, I'm going to be with you. And so God gave him victory right then. I tell you, no doubt, those that didn't know anything about God, and I guess they looked at the first day they walked around that city and said, look at them poor Hebrews. They're gone crazy. They're loco. They don't know what they're doing. Just like the world looks at us and says, oh, they're a bunch of nuts. But let me tell you, I'm glad we're screwed on the right boat. How about that? I'm glad, thank God, if we know Jesus, we know the one that'll help us through our situations we come into. The second day, they said, did you see that same crowd march around that city again? It's just like your faithful church members. They're here every Sunday.
That's good.
Good.
Just march around the walls. March around the city. Here every Sunday. Folks out in my community, there have been a few times folks come to see where we lived, and they'd ask the neighbors, where does Marvin Blackburn and Betty live? And right there in that house. They say, are they at home? They say, no, but if they're not at home, I'll tell you where you can find them, at church. You see, you just keep on marching.
Right.
You keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And so God gave them victory. And I see on one occasion, and just one time in the Bible, Joshua said, God, in fact, in his dying hour, he said, our God's taking care of us. He's been with us. He even sent the hornets.
Yeah.
Brother Brady, you ever read anything about it? I preached a sermon one time on God send the hornets.
Yeah.
How many has ever been to Yellow Jack's nest? Let's see your hand.
Yeah, boy.
How many dice a little bit? Let's see your hand. I mean, folks, I'll tell you, them things just keep on stinging. Now, honeybee, they sting you one time and they leave the stinger and don't sting you no more. But them old yellow jackets, and they're kind of kin to a hornet. Only a hornet has a bigger needle they operate with.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember me and my wife had just been married, and I was working on the farm, grading the eggs in the egg room. They're on the farm at the Hutchinson farm. And I was grading those eggs, and a fly lit right there on my nose. It's right between my eyes. And that hornet attacked that fly. And the fly moved. And it got me right between the eyes. And by the time I went home that day, my eyes just about swollen together. I was sitting there at the table when my wife came in from work at Brain Drugstore there in North Wilkesboro. She worked there at that time. And she came in the living room door and came into the kitchen where I was sitting there at the dining room table. And I turned around right, real slow and looked at her, my eyes swollen together. She started screaming, said, Lord, I'm ready. What in the world's happened to you? I said, you ought to see that other fella, eh? But the hornets, I grew up in the country. I've always been a country boy. And you can't never be nothing but a country boy if you've ever been a country boy. Amen. So God sent the hornets. Now, can't you imagine how our God can defend us? We think a lot of times we got to protest and we got to defend ourselves. Now, let me tell you, I believe in standing on the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. I believe the Word of God defends itself.
Amen.
If it's just preached and applied, I believe the Word of God will stand for itself. I don't believe we have to carry no signs trying to promote it and lift it up. It's forever settled in heaven. It's higher than we can lift up a stick. Amen. God's word will prevail. I'm glad, thank God, God sent the hornets. And the hornets, I'll tell you, fought the battle for Joshua. And I mean, they won the victory. Can't you imagine the enemy out there with all their bows and arrows and whatever they had at that time, their swords and their staves and all that. And I'll tell you, the battle in array. And all at once, I'll tell you, Israel, no doubt, I was scared to death. Some of them looking at that. About that time, God turned loose the hornets on them. Now, God said, I'll be with thee, just like I was with Moses, my servant. I'm going to be with you. And Joshua said himself, God sent the hornets. And I'll tell you, a hornet is something. Now, we used to, when I was just a boy growing up, we'd find the hornet's nest and we'd throw rocks at it. Now, we learned better than that. Yeah. A hornet, I think, has some radar.
Yeah.
And when you throw a rock in that hornet's nest, that thing will come exactly where that rock came from. You say, I say, hornet, why didn't you get my brother? My brother wasn't going to throw that rock. So God protected them, and God gave them victory after victory, and God, just like in our lives, God has given us victory after victory. He's blessed on every side. I say, me and my wife have been blessed so much in our life. We have the two boys, and one in Richmond, other than Florida. And the oldest son has three children, and all of those grandchildren been saved. And Jonathan has one. He's been saved. And I think we got a lot to praise God for, hadn't we? And the Lord has been with us. He's helped us. And sometimes some folks may think it's kind of odd, but I'll tell you something. If you walk with God, the world's not going to think you're always. they think something wrong with that fellow.
Right.
I mean, we're pilgrims and strangers. Or strangers and pilgrims. And to the world, we may be strange, but let me tell you something. I think I'm enjoying the trip.
Amen.
And one night, a few years ago, I woke up in the night about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with a song on my mind. And the scripture came to my heart. He giveth us a song, give us songs in the night. So I started singing that song. My wife woke up, and it didn't sound good without alto, so she just sung it with me. We laid there in the bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and sung the whole song, Blessed Assurance, or something like that. I think that's probably what it was. And I'll tell you, the same Spirit that moved on Fanny Crosby to write that song, I think the same Holy Ghost moved on us and gave us a song in the night. And God, I'll tell you, Blessed Assurance, I'm glad He gives us that. And every day of our life, He helps us. And we've saw so many victories and so many things God's done for us. And I'll tell you, He's not through with us yet. We're having the time of our life right now. Just me and Mama. Amen. We can go when we want to and come back home when we want to. Before my boys got married and left home, we'd go to church somewhere way off and get back home about 11 or 12 o'clock. And them boys would say, I don't know where in the world y'all been. We've been worried to death about y'all. Now, that ought to be the parents saying that to the children, wasn't it? But the Lord has been so good to us. He's kept us. He's helped us. And right now, I tell you, I feel so good. I mean, before I got saved, I never did feel this good when I felt bad. I mean, I felt good, that is. I mean, just to know you're saved, God's with you, and He's going to help you, and whatever He does. And when God opens doors, and when Brother Brady asked me to preach on this service tonight, I said, now, Lord, you give me the scripture. Before I got home, Brother Brady done give me this. I went home and checked it out, see if it was so. Amen. Hey, man, now you better check things out. You don't want no counterfeits, do we?
Right.
You take your money to the bank, and they'll look at it every which way. They don't want you to give them counterfeits.
Right.
And I tell you, I don't want to give nobody a counterfeit from this Bible. I want to preach the Word.
Amen.
God called me back here in 1959 to preach the Word, and the old tongue-tied, stammering-tongued boy raised on Flint Hill out there. I never had nothing much here in this world, raised with 16 other or 15 more children, 16 children in our family. Never had nothing much here in this old world. But I'm glad, thank God, in 1956, Brother Brady, he took me out of nothing and placed me right in the middle of everything and has been with me all down through these years. And he's still here tonight. I feel them glory bumps, I'll tell you, running up and down my spine knowing that my God is the same God that Joshua served. So God gave him victory, didn't he? He crossed that river as on dry land. Now, you know, like across the Red Sea, the Russian scientists, they tried to figure that out. And I had a little magazine one time that showed where they was trying to figure that out. And they said, well, it really wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And at that time, that water wasn't my ankle deep. Well, that still wasn't dry land, was it? And I thought to myself, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Big old miracle, and I thought it was.
Yeah.
God drowned Pharaoh and his army in ankle-deep water. I mean, so God did the work, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. God helped Joshua. And he said, that's getting ready. You're getting ready to cross that river now. You tell those priests to get that Ark of the Testament, Ark of the Covenant. And when the soles of their feet set in that water, I'm going to roll her back. And they went through on dry ground, the Bible said. So I'll tell you now, one of these days, and I know the Canaan land experience was not really a heaven experience. It was an earthly experience. Just like us children of God, we need to live in Canaan now.
Amen.
Get our eyes off the giants and get them, I'll tell you, on the fruits of the land and the glories of God and the things of God.
Yeah.
And so when I think about that, God led him across and the battle started. But the Lord was with him through every one of those battles. And now if you study the life of Joshua, you'll find out he is one of the greatest men of all the Bible. If you don't believe it, study it out. One of the greatest men of all the Bible was Joshua. The son of Nun. I tell you this, man, that God said, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you. Now, we may have some right here tonight in this service that's weary. Seems like the journey has led you to a lot of things of disaster and things, I'll tell you, that was not didn't look all that good. But you know, sometimes God leads us in ways that we may not understand everything about it. But I still believe all things work together for good to them that are the called of God, that was called according to His purpose. Those are in Christ Jesus. And it makes no difference what may come our way. And we don't know what's going to befall us, do we? But there's something going to take us out of this world one of these days if the Lord don't come first. I'm looking for Him to come.
Amen.
But just in case He don't come before I die, and you hear me call over on the vicar, and you look in the paper and see my picture, and they'll put one of them young'uns in there. They won't put one of these old pictures in there. I look in the paper sometimes, see somebody 90-some years old and some 98 years old, and I'll read down in that, and I think, my Lord, boy, they looked awful young. Well, that was a young picture, wasn't it? But those we preach to in the foothills of these mountains and all through these counties, one of these days, if the Lord don't come first, I know by nature you'll hear that on the radio, and you'll go to the funeral home or wherever, and to look at me that last time in this old body I'm walking around in now. But don't you believe the devil, nobody else, when he says he's dead?
Yeah.
I'll be more alive then than I've ever been. I'm glad, thank God, I'll be shouting on the other side. The same God that's going to go with you all the way down here. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to meet Him one of these. And I tell you, Job said, I'm going to look upon Him one of these days. I behold him and not another. I look on him. The Bible said in Revelation, they look on him whom they pierced. And I think even the enemy will look on him. But one of these days, I'm going to behold him and not another.
Amen.
Now, we sometimes wonder what we're going to do when we get to heaven. And I've often thought about that. But you know, it's going to be a lot different from what we may think. We're going to have a brand new thinker then. When the Lord calls us this old, out of this old world and gives us that brand new body, and everything will be different. And somehow in my mind, Brother Brady, I think before I can say the first hallelujah, before I can say the first glory to God, in my mind right now, I want to bow at his feet. Like Revelation chapter 4 told when John saw all the glories of God around about the throne. The 24 elders that cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, thou that was and is to come." And I'll tell you, when I think about that, all those 24 elders, I'll tell you, took their crowns off and cast them down at his feet and said, "Thou art worthy." I'm glad, thank God, the rest of that chapter in chapter 5 talks about worthy is the Lamb. I say, on about his feet and say, "Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done for me. Thank you for saving me and bringing me to this a beautiful place of heaven." I'll tell you, folks, we've got more to praise God for than we've thought about. I say, we ought to be of good courage tonight to know that our God will do everything he tells us in the Word of God. He's God. He'll never fail us. And there's been low times in our lives. I remember several years ago, my wife started hurting her chest, and I took her to Dr. Rathmellon. And I, at that time, I farmed and on the side. I always did something on the side. Now, I didn't make no liquor, but I mean, I farmed on the side. Amen. And I took her to see Dr. Rathmellon. I was sitting out there in my work clothes, old Brogans on, and and she sent the nurse out to tell me to come back to the room. And I went back there and she said, "Marvin, Betty has either had a heart attack or she's getting ready to have a heart attack." And I'll tell you, that hit me. I mean, like a rock dropped in the well. This, I mean, said, "You got to rush her to Baptist Hospital, straight to Baptist." And I said, "Can I go home, get a better car and some better clothes?" She said, "No, you got to go straight on to Baptist. If you're not going to do that, we're going to fly her down there." So I said, "Okay, I'll take her." And going down 421, about where Red, White, and Blue Road comes in there, Betty laid her hand over on mine. And she said, "Marvin, we've had a good life. The Lord's been good to us. And I want you to know, Marvin, if I don't go back there home at Rock Creek, I'm going home."
Amen.
And this is what she said: "I'm a winner either way."
Amen.
Glory to his name.
Amen.
I want us to get an invitation number now at this time. We're winners, folks. We need to have good courage. I'll tell you, because the Lord is going to do things for us. And this week in this revival, God can do great things. You're starting out good. I sit there and listen to this choir. Well, I'll be, "Okay, come on, let's get a song now. This time we have released a song, and let's give this invitation." Now, you may be downhearted, and a lot of things may be going the wrong direction, and the old devil will try to get you walking the wrong direction like that. But I'll tell you, just keep on walking with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you turn and go to another direction. Walk with Jesus. And we give this invitation. If you're here and you need more courage, why don't you just come tonight? Let us stand. What's the number, brother?
410.
Let us stand. Would you come now tonight?